Luke, the 12th chapter. Jesus is speaking here in the 22nd verse. He says to his disciples, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for your body, what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are you better than the fowls? And which of you, by taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If you be not able to do that thing which is least, why take you thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have, and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Amen. That's where I want to stop. You may be seated. Amen. And I just want to, the title of a song that Sister Jennifer sings, I believe, is "We Have a Treasure." Is that the name of it? That I believe Melody wrote it, didn't she? And we do have a treasure. And where our treasure is, according to this word of Scripture given to us by the Lord, where our treasure is, there will our hearts be also. It's easy to monitor where people's hearts are when you're in the ministry, when you have this type of ministry where we're seeking after the Word of God without fear or favor as far as what people may think of us sticking only with the truth, regardless of how much we like people, how much we want to be friends with everybody. There is no compromise with this truth once you see it. It has to be what it is, because we're not interpreting what's there. It's just there. When we talk about Jesus' name, Holy Ghost, all these things, this is the Word of God. There are a lot of people who shy away from these things, but some of the greatest treasures of my life have to do with the Holy Ghost and baptism in Jesus' name. And the one God that is revealed in the Word of God for those who will listen and pay attention. Most people in religions and in, quote, Christian circles don't pay attention enough to learn what's there. I was talking to a fellow who was a minister yesterday, one of many ministers I've been talking to on the phone with in the last few days. And also through email. But this one was on the phone for quite a while, and he was in California. He may be listening now. But he was, he spent years in a church that's not completely in the truth. Now, they believe in salvation. They believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And they believe in a lot of things that are there that are true in the Word of God. But somebody approached him not too long ago and told him that there's more for him. And at first, he did not want to hear it, because what he had already heard was, stay away from those kind of people, talking about people like us. He had had years of training in his church to be faithful to what was being taught there, and don't listen to this Jesus name doctrine. But he started questioning that. And while he was away from that influence, somebody got to him and just explained a little bit more about the Word of God. And he said, I saw it. He said, it's there. And he went back to his pastor. And he said, Pastor, why is it that you're not teaching me these things? This is the Word of God. And his pastor said, well, you know, it's okay to accept that, but it's not necessary. Well, my friends, if it's the Word of God, it's necessary. Whether we accept it or don't accept it, it's the Word of God. And these people say, accept Christ as your personal Savior, then they won't do what He says to do. If He's a personal Savior, why don't we be personal obeyers of what He asks us to do? Why don't we take it personally when He tells us to go everywhere preaching repentance and baptism in His name? You know, some of my best friends are not in the full truth. I don't like them less because of it, and I don't treat them with any kind of malice or hatred. I'm not mean to them. I have no reason, and you have no reason, to hate anybody just because they may be blind or deaf or even dead to this. But if you have friends anywhere, people, these are people that God cares about. Everybody is somebody that God cares about. He cares about the birds, as I read. He cares about the animals. He takes care of life, even when it can't take care of itself. But He puts the ability in these living creatures to know what to do. Even the small little ant prepares ahead, makes plans for a time when food may not be plentiful. And you know, we just kind of take that for granted. We'd be walking along the sidewalk and see an ant, and we don't think anything about it. We just step on it. And a lot of times when you step on them, you step on them while they're working. They're sometimes pulling on something that's bigger than they are. You know, they'll have something that they'll be pushing it and pulling on it and just work. And you watch ants real close. All the time, they're always going somewhere and they're always doing something. And you wonder where that comes from. I'll tell you where it comes from. It comes from God. God knows how to put it in His creatures, the knowledge of what to do in order to survive. The knowledge of what to do, even a fly. You can try to kill a fly, and they may not have been alive more than 3 days, but they have a way of dodging you and flying away from you and avoiding you. And when you think you for sure get them, they can still get away. Sometimes we succeed, and I don't want to go too far into this because we have animal and insect lovers here. But and all these little creatures have mamas, so I don't want to say too many things to get anybody upset. But if God is able to put it in the mind of these little tiny creatures how to prepare, how to plan ahead, how to work, how to store things up for tomorrow, and He says, don't go out and seek for what you can get so much. Don't try to figure out if you're going to have anything to wear or if you're going to have anything to eat. In other words, what He's saying is, trust God completely. Serve the Lord with all your heart, because if He can clothe these little ones, if He can take care of the grass, if He can take care of the insects, if He can take care of the birds and the animals, how much more can He take care of you, because He's your Heavenly Father. And it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And the kingdom consists of everything that is. Anything that's good is available, and it's in His power to supply it. So we can work ourselves from can to can't, trying to make things happen, when if we would really seek God first and just obey His Word, things will happen. Things will happen. And if we have to know ahead of time how it's going to happen, or you know, how to plan it or what to do, we don't get the picture. We don't quite see it. It's a matter of faith, but it's also a matter of truly being obedient to God, seeking God absolutely first in your life. I don't claim to have absolutely arrived at where I could be, but I'm trying to get there. And I'm not saying that I'm better than anybody else, but I have tapped in on what it's like to put God first. And when I put Him first, truly put Him first, things happen that I didn't plan, and they're always better than anything I could have planned. Hallelujah. Things happen. Because, you see, God has a treasure. You're the apple of His eye. He sees you as the most special thing that there is that He ever created. He sees you, even though you were created lower than the angels, He seeks praise from you because you're more special to Him than even the angels are. When He made man, He made man in His own likeness, in His own image. He made man. He didn't make the angels in His own image. He made man in His likeness. And He said, I want fellowship with you. I want you to be mine, and I want to be yours. And so many people in humanity have not learned this lesson and are not listening to it and don't want to pay attention to it. And even those who are going to many churches don't pay attention to some of the most important parts of the treasure that we possess. But if you can just get a hold of just this much of it, the love of God. The love of God. It's beyond anybody's comprehension. Just to know that He loves you. Just to know that He cares about you. So much more than the birds, than the little creatures that are able to exist, are able to just continue on and take care of themselves. He loves you so much. If He can take care of everything that is and loves you more than all of that, what's the problem in trusting Him? And looking to Him. And believing on Him. Why play games with it? The Bible says that by their fruits we shall know them. Talking about the people who are the people of God. There are some who show forth fruits at times. And at other times it doesn't seem to be there. That fruit is nothing more or less than treasure. It's either you have it or you don't. But sometimes you do manifest it when you're feeling, you know, the right, you might say, as the young people do, the right vibes. You manifest it when all of a sudden you get in the mood to start going to church, or you get in the mood to start worshiping God, or you know. But really, we should not have mood swings when it comes to the kingdom of God. No matter how we feel, God should be first in our life. No matter what it seems like, no matter how exhausted we are, how hard we work, if we're putting anything before God, we need to re-examine what's going on in our lives. Because He says, seek you first the kingdom of God and don't seek after anything else. Because you seek Him first, everything else will be added to you properly, because God's going to give it to you in the right way. Hallelujah. You want a real blessing? You want a financial blessing? Then give everything you've got to God. You can still keep it, but let it be dedicated to God. And don't hold on to it like you got to have provisions for tomorrow. Because if you're a child of God, it's not really your position or in your power to make plans for tomorrow. So many times the Lord has taught, don't do things like this for yourself. Don't plan it for yourself. Put it in the hands of God. And this may seem stupid, it may seem dumb, it may seem ignorant. But once we take Jesus on as our heavenly big brother, our heavenly Father, the power and the authority that's in His name and the goodness that's in His presence. Once we've done that and we say we trust Him and He's first in our lives, then He will supply our needs. not just need, but also our needs, according to His riches in glory. Now, you can interpret that any way you want to. You can say, well, He's just going to give us glory, or He's just going to give us praise, or He's just going to give us some shouting services. Or you can limit yourself if you want to. But if we will open up and let God reveal what He's really wanting us to be as His children, He just wants us to camp out with Him. And He has everything, owns everything, and He just wants us to be His, and He wants to be ours. Then when there's a need, if you need a raise on your job, you'll get it. But don't go try and seek for it. Just be a good worker, putting God first. If you need more work to do, it'll happen. You just keep on living for Jesus. If you need to make better school grades, live for Jesus and go to school and do your best. But don't let your school grades be the thing that drives you. Let Jesus Christ lead you in the way that you should go. And as you look to Him, you will make good school grades, because everybody that is a true born-again child of God is trying to please God. And God puts the best that there is in His children. Some of the best workers that anybody can employ are Jesus' name, Holy Ghost-filled people. Some of the finest students in the world are people who are Pentecostal, who go to these Pentecostal churches, get baptized in Jesus' name, seek after God. They make good workers. They make good school students. They make good college graduates. A lot of people know that there is a difference. You can hire just anybody, or you can do like a lot of employers do, go through the stack of papers where people have applied for jobs. And a lot of times they will go through many stacks. There's a reason why sometimes they put on there what denomination, what church do you attend. And when they find Pentecostal, a lot of times it might be on the bottom of the stack, but that's the one that gets the job. And it's not only because God is supplying the need of that Pentecostal, but it's also because of the fact that we go beyond this teaching that you got to sin more or less every day. We're not out there carousing around and drinking and boozing it up and living, you know, like we used to live once we have repented and been washed in the blood of Jesus. We're not of that teaching that says you don't have to do anything. The Word of God teaches us we do have to do anything, and that faith without works is dead. So we're not just wanting to debate or argue the issue. It's just there. It's the truth. What we have to do is do what we have to do. And that's what Jesus tells us to do. And when He tells us to do something, one of those things He includes is don't love the world. Don't love the things of the world. If you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. Amen. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. And we can see it all the time. It's manifested all the time. It is the manner of some to forsake it. And forsaking the assembling is just miss one time when you could be here, and you have forsaken the assembling of yourself together. But that doesn't keep God's people from getting together. And when you get in the mood and decide to be part of it, you can. But you're not going to stop the rest of us, because we're here to see what God would have us to be, to see what God would have us to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If we could tap in on what's really available for the people of God, the provisions that we would be trying so hard to make for ourselves are already made. It's just a matter of believing God. Hallelujah. You don't have to believe this. Some of you may believe it. If you do, it's going to make a difference in your life. We can say we believe it, but by the things we do, we prove that we're kind of like that guy in Iraq was, you know. The Americans are not here. You know, when they were all up and down the streets and they were, you know, they were there and you could see them even, you could see them on the TV. And he was standing there and said, they're not in our country. He was living in a state of denial. They almost had to, you know, tie him up and hold him down for him to admit that they were there. I don't know if he ever did admit it. And some people are living like that. You know, it's like, you know, we say the right things and we think everything's all right, but then we work so hard to make things be all right. And nothing wrong with working hard, but this, you know, examine your motive. Why are you working so hard? If it's because you enjoy working and it gives you a good opportunity to be a witness, and you want to be where you are, where you're working because God has you there, or you're there because you see an opportunity to do something for God, then you should certainly be the best worker available on the job, and you should have raises, and you should have overtime if you want it, and you should have all kinds of favors coming your way. But no matter what you're doing, this is the Word of God. This is our instruction. Seek God first. Don't let anything stand in your way. Nothing. No father, no mother, no sister, no brother, no girlfriend, no boyfriend, no husband, no wife, and no boss, and no school. Nothing. In this church, children do not do their homework at church. I would rather see you get an F and fail at school. Here, our homework is the Bible, the B-I-B-L-E. That's the book for me. Amen. And we got the most precious group of children coming up in this church. But it's good for you to know, as you get into school year, you do your homework at school, at home, and you do all you can to get it over with before you come to church. And let's come to church and get our mind on Jesus. Hallelujah. Because this is the most important thing. This is more important than high school. This is more important than college. This is more important than a career. When everything else that you think is so important in life has failed you, God will still be blessing you. Hallelujah. God will still be blessing you. And if you could only grab a hold of this thing. I'm so thankful these ministers are wanting me to meet with them. I don't know why suddenly, all of a sudden, we're loved and we're appreciated. Unless it might just be that we've just been abiding in His presence. They may not even know why. Your boss may not even know why He gives you a raise or gives you a promotion. Your school teacher may not even know why that she or he gives you some kind of special recognition. You may not know why you get a scholarship. You don't have to know why. Receive it with gladness and thanksgiving. And all these things that happen in life that are good, give God praise for it. All good gifts come from above. Hallelujah. It's your Heavenly Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Amen. I'm talking truth here tonight. This isn't something I invented. I didn't just think it up. It's been here all the time. If we tap into what God already has available for us, we're living right here in the midst of the tree of life, right here where we are. Everything that we need in life is right here for us to pick from this tree. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So, what is your treasure? Is it what you own? Is it what you're planning to do after church? Is that your treasure? Or what your plans are for tomorrow? Is that your treasure? The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. But that's not saying for us not to get money. And that's not saying that we shouldn't try to get all that we can and pay all the bills and buy things and put things in the bank. That's not saying any of that. It's just saying the love of money is the root of all evil. And that's simply another way of God saying, don't love anything more than you love God. Hallelujah. Because he can snatch the money away just like he can allow it to come your way. And we can love money all we want to, but the way our economy is going right now, it's not going to be worth much very much longer. It's not worth much now. But get all you can, but don't fall in love with it. Don't be like old Scrooge, you know, MacDuck. Don't fall in love with it. You know, it's not worth it. There is a treasure that's more valuable than loot. There's a treasure that money can't touch the value of this treasure. They're always advertising gold. Buy gold, you know, because gold, you know, it'll be there when money is not there. But this is more precious than gold. And you can get it free tonight. Hallelujah. Don't lay up treasures for yourself where moth and rust will corrupt it and thieves can break through and steal it. But go ahead and get the treasures, but expect them to come and go. And be disappointed when they go and be happy when they come. But don't let either one of those things mar your testimony or cause your testimony. Hallelujah. In all things give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. Lose everything you've got and say, if he slay me, I'll trust him. Naked I came into the world, and naked I'll return. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's our example of righteousness in the Word of God. He gives, he takes away. And he gives again. And we need to be able to lose and gain. And as somebody testified tonight already, I'm still going to be praising God. I've still got my goal. I'm still going to heaven. Regardless, that's the kind of testimony that the world needs to hear. Because most of this world's in trouble. Not just trouble because the money's going away. Not just trouble because there's chaos and confusion and war clouds hanging all around. But the world's in trouble because they don't know how to think. They don't know how to believe. They don't know who to turn to. They don't know where to find the truth. And if we and people like us won't proclaim it, it won't be heard. That's why Jesus has commissioned his followers to go into the whole world. And that's why we're doing what we can with cameras and whatever we can to reach out to the whole world. We're not able to reach them all, but we're touching a lot of lives. And every once in a while, one of them seems to have a little spark. And turns around and says, tell me more. If you go through 10,000 people to get one to turn around, that's something. Hallelujah. Tell me more. It's so easy to forget. So many times we've set up late here in this church and we've listened to people as they converted themselves while listening to your testimonies and listening to your singing, listening to the preaching coming forth over this internet ministry, we've heard them finally conclude, you know what? I can't deny that it is the Word of God. I could recall dozens of people who have been converted while listening to you sing and testify and just talk about your happiness in the Lord. Amen. One man in particular comes to mind. Was part of Promo's group. Promo was in a room that was haters of Rutledge and anything we touched and anything we had to do with in this church. Every night on the chat program after our services, spies had come into our service to see what we talked about. They would take notes and they would go back to Promo, who was on Fire Talk back then, and his room was just full of people waiting to find out what Rutledge is up to now. And so he would make fun, you know, when I would talk about the Father, when Jesus said, I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. And when I said, and Jesus said, according to the Word of God, I read it right out of the book, except you believe I am He, the Father, You will die in your sin. Well, Promo thought that was the most ridiculous thing he ever heard. And he got on his chat program, and he kept on saying, that Rutledge guy and that Rutledge cult and those people, they probably got guns hid away in that bunker up there in Norwich, Connecticut. And it talked about how that we all sleep in our clothes, and you know, he made it sound like the whole church just bunks together here, and we sleep here, we're here 24 hours a day, and you know, he didn't understand what was going on. And he talked about, you know, and they probably, you know, they're probably going to be headlines one of these days, like that Waco bunch, you know, and Rutledge is on there saying the Father is Jesus, and everybody knows Jesus can't be his own Father. But one day, he talked about it so much that one of his moderators that worked with him in that room came to check us out. And after a while, he said, well, I've been sitting here, and he even had Promo attached to his name. He had a name, and then he had a Promo attached to that. And so he said, I thought you would have kicked me out by now, because Promo told me that if I came in here, as soon as you saw me, you would kick me out of the room. I said, well, I saw you when you first came in. I haven't kicked you out. You haven't done anything wrong. He said, but the name Promo attached to my name, they said that would cause you to kick me out. I said, why would I want to kick you out? Promo's welcome to come here. Well, he said, I've been listening to you, and he said, I can't deny what you're saying, because he said, I got my Bible open. So, he said, where can I go and get baptized in the name of Jesus? That was on a Friday night. On Sunday, we had arranged for him to go to a Pentecostal church right down the street from where he lived. And the preacher put him in water. And this man who was talking to me was a minister of another denomination. But a Pentecostal friend put him in the water in the name of Jesus. He came out of the water speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. And became a Jesus name, Holy Ghost filled evangelist. Now that's the kind of stuff that's been happening around here. And I'm telling you, I get excited about internet ministry. I know we've had it for 10 years or so, but it hasn't lost my interest. Because I see God doing things. I see God saying, hey, push that button. I got some folks over there. I see God saying, hey, send that email. I see God saying, hey, just keep on telling it. Make more videos. Do more audio. Send more pictures out. Let the word go out. Go into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. Why does He want us to do that? Because His treasure is involved. It's in His heart to save the whole earth. To save everybody. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. God loves it when we're making an effort to follow Him to another soul, even if it's in Africa or Germany or Norwich, Connecticut. Hallelujah. That's the treasure of God. And He wants it to be our treasure. He that winneth souls is wise. Some people quote that and they misunderstand the meaning of it. And you hear some teach it that, you know, the Bible says that wise people win souls. That's not what it says. It says he that winneth souls is wise. What the Bible is saying is that's the wise thing to do. Reach out to win souls. Maybe you understood it wrong, but I'm telling you right. Change your mind because I'm right. You can check it out some more. Get your understanding open before God and you'll find out that the understanding here for everybody to have on that scripture is he that winneth souls is wise. That means it's wise for us to reach out and win souls. There are a lot of wise people not winning souls. I know a lot of them. They got a lot of wisdom in a lot of ways, you know, but the soul winner, it's wisdom to win souls, because that's what counts. That's where God is involved. And there's something about doing unto others as you have them do unto you. This has to do with soul winning. I mean, the world takes these scriptures and tries to live by them, but they can only go so far. Because you take the Word of God and try to live by it, and you leave God out of your life, it's sort of a problem. Living in disobedience and saying, I want this thing to work for me. You know, it just doesn't work that way. If we want it to work for us, it needs to become our treasure. Amen. We need to love this thing. There are a lot of people who say they love one another, but they're not willing to commit to one another. But when it comes to God, He's already committed to you. And once you commit to Him, and who wouldn't want to be committed to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the God of Gods, the Power of Powers, the Strength of Strength, the Overcomer of all overcomers, the greatest warrior over all warriors? The greatest thing that you could possibly do is fear God and keep His commandments. Hallelujah. I'm serious. And the more I think about this, the more my heart just wells up. And I just feel like saying, I'm glad I'm a Pentecostal. I'm glad I'm apostolic. I'm getting where I love more and more to just say apostolic to everybody I know. I love to say apostolic to my Assembly of God friends. And I love to say Assembly of God friend to my apostolic friends. I love to confront bad spirit apostolics when they see people who don't live up to their standards and they want to criticize. And I had Brother Joe to preach the other night because I was wanting to fight. And I don't like to preach when I'm wanting to fight. And so I asked him to preach because I said I got some stuff in me that I'm aggravated because I put something on the internet trying to be friendly, trying to be nice. And some Pentecostal Jesus' name folks came against me. And came against the people I'm reaching for, trying to help. And I got angry about that. Let me tell you something. I got angry. I sinned not. But I wasn't in the frame of mind to preach to anybody that night. Because I felt like attacking devils. And I want to be kind to you people. We got people here that you really, you deserve some smooth times. You've had a lot of preaching. You've had a lot of moments where it got kind of straight around here. We don't really have a need of that right now. But those that want to attack, those that want to cause strife, those that want to... Look, nobody is your enemy who's trying to serve God. I don't care what denomination it is, how far off they are from your standards, what they believe in, don't believe in, what they smoke or don't smoke, what they say when they say their four-letter words, whatever. If they call themselves a Christian, they read the Bible, and they think that they're trying to serve God, leave them alone. Mind your own business. And when somebody else is reaching out over the internet, don't you sit there and criticize, because you should be doing the same thing in love and with wisdom. Hallelujah. So what did I do? I banned the apostolic and kept the Assembly of God. And I'll do it again without being angry and sinning. But I'll be angry. Because there's no sense in it. Sit up all night one night talking to a preacher. We were just about to get him converted. And he was coming around to the truth. And about 5 hours had gone by. And we were just working and working and working. And just about the time he was ready to accept this thing, a Pentecostal Jesus name preacher in California joined the conversation and took over. So what do you believe about this? And what do you believe about that? You know what I did? I said, shut up. And I said it in anger. And sin not. Amen. Because I was prompted by God to shut his mouth. Because that spirit was not a God. I'm not saying apostolic's not a God, but that spirit's not a God. Anything that wants to bring contention while we're trying to do soul winning, anything that wants to bring confusion and division while you're trying to reach for somebody. I hate internet chat programs. I don't even like our own. But we own it, and we're going to keep it. But I don't like this chat thing that draws Pentecostals who want to fight and argue and fuss. Look, if you want to call yourself apostolic, then be apostolic. If you don't call yourself Pentecostal, be like those folks on the day of Pentecost that wanted to go out and let their light shine so that 3,000 souls the same day wanted to be added to what it was they had a hold of. Hallelujah. We've got an opportunity like we've never had on the face of this earth for the first time in history. It's at our fingertips to be able to touch every part of this earth. Right now, it's possible if we would just put on a little bit more effort and try to follow God. He's given us these tools. There is no limitation to how many souls you can reach if you would just be wise. And I'm talking to everybody out there. We got Pentecostals everywhere on the internet. But what are they doing? Playing games and fighting with each other. Playing internet games. I don't have anything against internet games. But if you got time to do that, you got time to pray through and win some souls. Let's all praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But we succeeded in winning that person to God. That person went and got baptized. It was another case of a baptism in Jesus' name. We sent them to a church, and they too also received the Holy Ghost that weekend. This has happened over and over. But we can be, if we want to and choose to be, like the people that we read about in the Bible, so soon you forget where the Lord's brought you from, and what the Lord has done along the way, and how He's done all these miracles. Look, it's not the things that we possess. We don't have that much. But what little bit we have can do a lot of stuff. It doesn't take a whole lot of Bibles to reach a lot of souls. It just takes somebody having this Word of God in you. Amen. You could take one Bible. Those people in Russia, 35,000 of them had one Bible. But they were trying to serve God with that one Bible. I'm not saying each one of them had a Bible. I'm saying 35,000 people had one Bible. And they shared that one Bible. Can you imagine sharing your Bible with 35,000 people? Praise God. Hallelujah. God's good, isn't He? Our air conditioner's not working as good as it used to, so I guess it's kind of getting stopped up, so it's a little warm in here. Let's all stand together. Bottom line of it all is the same thing I started out with. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And once you get this thing just right, you got a treasure chest full of blessings. And every way you look and everything you do in life, praise God, it's there. If you put your heart into this thing. We put our hearts into a lot of things. And we say we're serving God. But examine again, what do you love? What do you love so much that it occupies your time? There's nothing wrong with having things occupy your time, but don't leave God out of that. Amen. The praying without ceasing instructions in the Word of God is an instruction that comes from God. In other words, whatever we're doing continually, is, no matter what it is, we're instructed to be in communication with God. I've seen parents, especially back in the days of the CB radios and so forth, when there were a lot of those, I've seen parents try to keep up with their children and monitor where they are every minute, just about, you know, just, so where are you now? What are you doing now? You know, just overbearing parents with their teenagers. And I guess maybe they needed to be overbearing, but they couldn't leave them alone. You couldn't let them go 5 minutes without having to check on them. Amen. But that's how God wants us to be. He wants you to be ready right now when He calls on you. Ready to receive a blessing. Ready to do exploits. Look, you don't have to plan this. All you have to be is in a surrendered mode. Just be available. He's not seeking for all your ability. He's seeking for your availability. You want God. You say you want God. You want to serve God. You want to seek after God. You want a blessing from God. Then be a blessing. You're in His heart. You're His treasure. He says, now let me be in your heart and be your treasure. Let's praise Him, everybody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If we all get this thing right, there will never be a need or a lack in our church congregation. There will never be a need or a lack for anything. Hallelujah. It doesn't mean we're all sinners if we lack and we need things. It just means that we can do better. There is an opportunity here for us to all live like kings and priests on this planet Earth right now. We can live as ambassadors who have the best of the best everywhere we go. We can keep our heads up and keep a smile on our face and a spring in our hair. Why? Because we're serving the living God and He's with us every moment of every day. And every door that can be opened is already open. Hallelujah. Let's praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. There is no telling what God will do if we will look to Him and put Him first. And we ain't going to do it doing the way Brother John talked about that. You know. I'm glad he preached that message. Made me think of a lot of people I know. Hallelujah. God's not looking for a zombie church. He's looking for a church on fire. Look, you write, you need to write more. If you sing, you need to sing more. If you compose, you need to compose more. If you're trying to play an instrument, you need to learn more about it. If you pray, you need to pray more. If you preach, you need to preach more. If you seek after God, you need to seek more. If you're wanting to win souls, you need to try harder. I cannot make anybody see any of this. But if we would just allow ourselves to open our eyes, God is here for us. God is here for us. We don't have to be like an ant pushing a big old piece of bread trying to get it to a little place while a big foot's trying to come down on us. We're people. We're the sheep of His pasture. He will carry our heavy loads. He will supply our needs. He says, don't plan what you're going to do. I'll take care of you. Don't seek after what you're going to have, what you're going to eat. Just do your stuff and you'll get stuff. But serve me. Serve God. Seek after God. All these other things you'll have plenty of it. But seek first the kingdom of God. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. The earth is the Lord. You are an authority over every power that's on the face of this earth. And God wants us to serve Him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Ah, glory. Get it just right. There's going to be a whole lot of shouting going on. A lot of dancing, a lot of praising. And a lot of people who are laying out of church going to show up. But I'm not here to throw stones to criticize those that are not here. Because we got some that are here that are still not here. Amen. So that's all that are trying to be here. I'm going to come up front and pray a little bit. If you're not here, come anyway. Hallelujah. And if you're here, try to be a light for those that aren't here, but their bodies are here. Because where the carcass is, the eagles have gathered. Glory to God. I think there's some of us ready to soar a little bit. Some of us ready to fly high and have eagle's eyes and see farther than we've seen before. Hallelujah. And if you're not one of those, just hang on. Get up on our wings. We're going to go somewhere.
Oh, bless the Lord. Oh, my soul. And all. Bless the Lord.
you, Jesus.